You're listening to the Sunday Messages podcast brought to you by Cypress Creek Church.
This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.
She will give to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, but he will save his people from their sins. All this takes place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel."
Which means God with us. Let's give it up for Riley and Gentry. Way to go, you guys. And can we give it up for our worship team as well, who led us in song this evening? Welcome, everyone, and Merry Christmas. Whether you came across the street or you jumped some puddles on a plane to get here to celebrate with family, whether this is your first time at Cypress Creek Church or you've been here for 32 years here, welcome. My name is Jose. I have the honor of serving as our lead pastor, and I love Christmas Eve for a few reasons. Number one, we celebrate Christmas early so that we can spend time with family on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. Number two, we get to welcome all sorts of people that come, whether coming with family or guests. And if this is your first time, I really do hope you feel welcome. Wherever you are in your faith journey, welcome. We have a card when you came in. I'd love for you to click on that QR code. If you put your phone on the seat, you can go to the guide, and there's a helpful resource to help you again wherever you are in your faith journey. And I also love Eve, because we don't normally see each other during the week, and I don't normally wear a coat. But it's somebody's birthday, and I thought I'd dress up and share the reason that Jesus came is so that we wouldn't feel pressure. And so if you feel any pressure, I hope you feel at ease. I hope you feel at home when you're here. We come to celebrate the one who gave us actually a gift that we are to receive. My hope this evening is that we would leave here with a gift. The gift that I want to talk about, that we just read about, is the gift of peace. Would you like more peace in your life? I don't know about you, but I've never met anybody that, thank you. And did you hear how old they were? Just interesting there. Parents, if you have little ones, peace may be foreign to you right now. You're like, I don't know what peace is at any point in night or day. But I've never met anybody that says, no thanks to peace, more chaos, more turmoil, more tension, more stress, more discord in life. We could all use a little bit more peace. I'm going to tell you a story about a man who was born in 1792, Joseph Moore. He was born kind of similar circumstances that we just read from Matthew's gospel in the first chapter. Mom, dad, but they were not married. And so when son was born, dad actually just left him with his name and then abandoned his son. Mom actually had to pay a fine, because then in Austria it was illegal to have an illegitimate child. So she paid the fine, and thankfully a couple men stepped in and taught Joseph about music, poetry, and the Lord. 1818, many years later, Joseph followed Jesus, and he wrote a song. And this song was played for the first time with guitar and voice in this little town in Austria, this German song that we still sing today called Stille Nacht. And the lyrics go like this: "Silent night. Holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Let's say that last verse all together. Sleep in heavenly peace. Doesn't that sound nice? Again, moms, dads with young ones, grandparents hosting right now, you may say, yeah, it sounded nice before the kids came. Sleep in heavenly peace. What would it look like if we walked out of here with more peace than when we came in? That is my prayer for this evening. Here is how Oxford Dictionary defines peace: freedom from civil unrest or disorder. Our world can use some of that. Freedom from quarrels or dissension between individuals. Our relationships could use more of that. In freedom from anxiety or inner conflict. The late author and pastor A.W. Tozer actually said that Christ came to bring peace, and we celebrate his coming by making peace impossible for 6 weeks of each year. And that may resonate with you. And if so, then you're in 89th percentile, according to the study done by the American Psychological Association that said in this time of the year, people tend to feel more stress than any other time. Why? Because of financial burden, because of relational expectations, because of all these cultural norms that apply pressure into our lives, making peace hard to come by. And you may say yes and amen to that. Or you may look back in 2025 and have had the most wonderful time of the year, and you may be celebrating that this season. Wherever you fall, on either end or anywhere in between, I really do hope that you feel welcome in this place, more so that you leave here with this gift that God sent to us so that we can have more peace. If your life right now feels that void of that loved one that won't join you in the Christmas table, or still struggling with that issue that as soon as you're walking out of here, you're facing, whatever life may look like, here is the biblical definition of peace. It does not, it's not based on our circumstances, but on receiving this gift. Peace is not the absence of conflict, but it's God's presence through it. If we read the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, in Matthew chapter 1, we will see that actually there was a lot of chaos in the Christmas story. In Luke 2, we read about this ruler, Caesar Augustus, who said, hey, I'm going to tax all the people. And so he basically created discord. Everybody had to go to different towns, their hometowns. And so Joseph and Mary being very pregnant, had to go to Bethlehem because that is where the census was occurring. More so when they got there, there was no room for them in the inn. And so they ended up hanging out with the nativity scene. You know what that looks like. And Jesus spent his first night in a feeding trough, in a manger, disheveled in chaos. But God did so that we can know that peace does not mean or does not need to be dictated by our circumstances, but by the presence of God with us. That's where Matthew's gospel actually rewinds the tape, and we look at what happened about 9 months before Jesus' birth, when Joseph, Mary is the main character of the gospel of Luke, and Joseph's the main character of the gospel of Matthew. And in verse 23, just as we read, this prophecy comes true, that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The presence of God now residing with man. Jesus coming in human form, being born to a woman just like every single one of us. And so I want to give you three statements to you that would help you find peace no matter what life throws your way. Whether that means reciting them on the drive home or remembering them on December 25th or starting the new year off in good standing. Three statements that remind us that peace means God with us, I want to rewind and go to the first verse of Matthew's gospel that says, this is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Genealogy is a fancy word for family tree. And what's astounding of this is that Jesus first came into a family. Think about it. Jesus could have come in any way. If God was to send his son to rescue the world, he could have snapped his fingers, he could have appeared, angels could have done their thing, and boom, there you have it. God, maybe in the flesh or spirit, whatever. But instead, God placed Jesus in a family to show us that there is no such thing as a perfect family. If you know that, can you say amen? Amen. You said that a little too loudly, and you offended your family that you came with. There's no such thing as a perfect family. In fact, if you watch what happens in Matthew 1, 1 through 17, Jesus' family is deeply flawed. The genealogy of Jesus pulls no punches. Let me recap some highlights. Outsiders, people that didn't belong to the family of God, prostitutes, murderers, adulterers. I mean, some heavy hitters makes our family look like a bunch of saints around the Christmas table. What God is showing us is that he came to make all things right, but he came at a time of chaos to show us that the curse that we brought upon ourselves, Genesis chapter 3, first book of the Bible, opening passages, the curse of sin was this: hard work. It's going to be frustrating. We were now going to experience death, something that we were not created for. And then child delivery was actually going to be difficult. And so God brings his son, plants life in Mary's womb to reverse the curse. He came to be with us. Here's the first statement that I want us to know is that you, me, I belong to God's family. See, not only was Jesus placed in a family, but now we all exist and are invited into God's family. I love this other verse that speaks to the prophecy said many hundred years before the coming of Jesus. O come, O come, Emmanuel, same epic period in the Old Testament. It's called the exile. When they were longing for a Savior, another prophecy that Jesus fulfilled was in Isaiah 9:6 that says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. It's making it personal. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, so that we can all call our Heavenly Father, Father, so that we can have peace on earth. I was born to an imperfect family, but a pretty great family, and I was named after two patriarchs, my great-grandpa, bisabuelo, José. I got that as my first name, and then one generation under, my middle name is after my abuelo, Gabriel. José, Gabriel, last names, Avaroa, Estavillo. And I don't know what happened, but they just wanted me to make my grandparents proud. I hope I did. I don't really remember. Jose Pepe was his nickname, same as mine. But I was born basically to preach this message because I fit in everybody's nativity scene. You got Joseph, you got the angel Gabriel, and so there you go. I'm in my calling right now. I left Mexico City when I was 6. My family moved here, and I would speak English everywhere, but in home, I would speak Spanish. And I grew up really with this crisis. Where do I belong? Do I belong here? Do I belong there? Wasn't until I was 18 where I came to Texas State University, eat 'em up cats. And then this church family actually brought me in, said, hey, come, we're reading God's word. We're reading it as if it was true. We're actually following it, following what it says. And little by little, I realized that my life was changing, that my mind was being renewed. All of a sudden, I had peace that transcended my circumstances that made no sense. I gave my life to Jesus, and I haven't looked back. Jesus invites all of us to belong to his family. Yes, we belong to our families of origin. We also belong to his church family, a family that invites all people from all backgrounds, no matter what you've done, no matter where you were born, no matter where you are today. You are welcome to be a part of his family. There's a neuroscientist by the name of Jim Wilder, and he did a study. Actually, he said the left side of our brain runs at the speed of words. So as I'm talking, it's the left side of your brain that is processing, and I'm sorry, I talk fast, so it takes a while to process. But the right side of the brain processes 6 times faster, and it's asking questions like, who is happy to see me? What do I feel right now? Is there anyone who understands me? Do I belong? It's the answers to those questions that actually form our character. And so it's very important for us, if we want to feel peace, that we know that we belong to God's family, that he says, hey, you belong here. Emmanuel means God with us, and that comforts us in every season. It's comforting to know that we have a place of belonging, but it does much more than that. Verse 21, we read that she, Mary, will give birth to a son. And you, Joseph, are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The second thing that we need to know if we want to receive the gift of peace is that in Christ, because of Christmas, we are totally forgiven. Is this good news to anybody else? That no matter what you've done, that we have a God who loves us and forgives us. And you may say, yeah, but why would he forgive you if you just keep on making mistakes? Here's why. When you truly receive the gift of forgiveness, your life changes. You don't take grace for granted. You transform more and more to become like the image of Jesus. Not perfect, but on a journey. It's called sanctification. Becoming more and more like him. But it means receiving more and more of that love. What if this Christmas you extended peace to others by maybe forgiving those that have hurt you? See, you may say, well, if God is with me, then why do these things continue to happen to me? And the answer to that is really, I don't know. But what I do know is in the Bible, it talks about the 3 dimensions of sin. The first is one that we talk often in church. It's the sin done by me, mistakes that we make, ways that we fall short, and that brings about consequences in our lives. But the second one is this, that sin done to me. It's other people's sin, other people's stuff. They disappoint us, they let us down, and they end up hurting us. And when we forgive them, we're actually extending grace. But here's what I know. The third, by the way, dimension of sin is just sin done around us due to our broken world. When we forgive others, it's really hard. In fact, I think it's impossible to continually forgive others if we don't first receive the gift of forgiveness ourselves. Forgiven people forgive people. Maybe peace means extending forgiveness, but maybe peace means receiving the forgiveness that God sent his son Jesus to offer to all. No matter what you've done, no matter what the record has shown, you, not because of anything that you've done, but because of what your heavenly Father did through his son, who was the perfect sacrifice that completely covered over all our sin. Because of that, you and I are forgiven people. Yahweh saves. That's what Jesus means. God saves. It's actually the Greek word for Joshua. Joshua and Jesus are actually the same name. Now it would be awkward to say at this point, Joshua saves. Or Jesus sent his son Joshua. And if your name is Joshua, like me, Jose Joseph, Jesus means Joshua. Yahweh saves. God saves. Meaning that God has delivered us from our sin, and brought us into right standing with our Creator. I love the book of Lamentations. It's a tough one. It's a hard read. But for many of us, if you look back at 2025, it may be reading your mail. Hard things coming your way. But in verse 21 of the 3rd chapter, there's a pivot. And I want to share it with you to encourage you that in Christ, we are totally forgiven and there's always hope. The author of Lamentations, after saying of all these atrocities that happened to the people of Israel when they're in exile, in verse 21, he says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Not our faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. If you've already done New Year's resolutions, let me give you another one. If you don't have one, this is free. Turn to Jesus every morning and ask for forgiveness. Say, "Lord, thank you for forgiving me. Lord, even though I fall short, even though I am faithless, thank you for proving faithful." And if you want to start this journey of following Jesus, I want to invite you along. We at Cypress Creek Church, we're a family of imperfect people who follow the only perfect Savior, Jesus. When you came in, that QR code, if you can scan it, it'll also be on the screen. You can click on it. There's a helpful resource that I'd love for you to download so that you can have something to help you day by day receive this gift of forgiveness and live out what Psalm 66:5 says, "Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. For God is with us. He sent his Son to be with us." I encourage you, maybe challenge you, to try church out every Sunday in the month of January and just see what happens, whether here or wherever you live. Lastly, Jesus was sent to us. He came to forgive us, invite us to belong to his family. And we're left on a cliffhanger. What's Joseph going to do? The angel spoke. He had a plan. Who can blame him? His wife is pregnant and there's no explanation. The angel spoke. What's Joseph going to do? Verse 24 tells us that when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. What did he do? He said, "Okay, even though it makes no sense, I'm hearing this from an angel, so that helps. I believe that it's God." And then he took his wife on a date, put a ring on it, said, "Let's get married in Vegas today." There's some romance in the Christmas story. Husbands, take your wife out tomorrow. Maybe not if you have dinner plans, but maybe before things ramp up again. I love how Joseph pursues Mary. And then he gives his son this name, Jesus. Joseph does what Joseph Moore's dad didn't do. Joseph didn't abandon this child. He adopted him. He said, "You're now a part of my family." What a mystery that this earthly dad adopts this heavenly child into his family. What Joseph did was he trusted and he chose to follow Jesus. If you want to have some peace in your life, choose to trust and follow Jesus. Even when it makes no sense, even when you're going against the grain, even when all your friends are going over there, your family saying this or that, choose to make Jesus the Lord of your life and see how peace storms in the midst of hard times. Jesus told us that this would be difficult. In fact, the end of his ministry when he was 33 years old, John chapter 14, 15, or 16, beautiful chapters. And he's speaking to his disciples and he's basically telling them what's coming up. He's letting them know what to do. And he ends with this note in John 16, verse 33. He says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." July of 1914, World War I broke out. Back then it was called the Great War. But come Christmas time, there was a Christmas miracle. Watch this video.
Light.
in the middle of war, they had a moment of peace where enemies sang of this truth that Christ came. And no matter what our circumstances look like, we can have peace. We're going to close by singing this song, Stille Nacht. Don't worry, it'll be in English. And I wonder what peace may look like for you. Maybe it's reminding yourself that you belong to a family, you belong to a greater story. Maybe it means receiving this forgiveness or choosing to trust and follow Him. I want to invite us to stand if you're able. And before we light the candle, which really represents the presence of God, God with us, take just 10 seconds of silence to acknowledge God's presence with us. We thank you, Lord, for coming on that silent night and living the life that we could not live, in giving us this gift that we couldn't obtain, the gift of your peace. We love you and we're grateful for it. In Jesus' name, and everyone's name.
Thanks for listening to the Sunday Messages podcast. You can dive deeper into the messages weekly by subscribing to the Conversations podcast, where we dig into the previous Sunday's message, unpacking how we can apply it further in our daily lives. See you again next week.